It's also like when you're under like a time crunch.
I've always wanted a ham radio set.
I gotta get this
done. And now that I've got one, I'm gonna listen in on distress signals and notify the authorities and prevent disasters and noble things like that. Calling CQ, calling CQ. Come in, please.
I'm Beth Hover, a member of the board for Our Community Cares volunteer organization, and you're in tune to 90.7 FM, WGXC, Acre.
La despensa de alimentos de Catskill está localizada en la parroquia de la Iglesia de St. Luke en Catskill, en la calle William, número 50. La despensa está abierta todos los viernes de la 1 hasta las 4 de la tarde. La comida sana es un derecho. Para más información, bienvenidos a todos a venir, llamar por teléfono a 551-299-2456, mirar la página web catskillfoodpantry.org o conectar con nosotros en Facebook en Catskill Food Pantry.
Hi, this is Michael Wilde inviting you to Mostly Singles, and if you like what you're hearing, you'll love this show. Rarefied music, premieres, and guests. It's different every time. And a podcast, too. Go to WGXC.org. Mostly Singles, every fourth Tuesday at 8 to 10 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Gene Thomas of Freehold, New York. WGXC supporters care deeply about creative community radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You, too, can become a monthly supporter by going to WGXC.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome to Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda. I'm Amanda.
I'm Jenny.
And this is my first time behind the driver's seat at the station while Jenny is patching in over Zoom. And it was, for me, a person who doesn't know my way around screens and buttons, very thrilling, very scary.
You're doing such a good job.
Thank you so much.
Natural DJ.
Everybody out there in Radioland, I hope that you can hear us very well, nice and loud and clear. We are a twice a month movie talk show here on WGXC every second and fourth Tuesday of the month from 7 to 8. Usually we pick a theme and then we discuss the movies that we watched around that theme between our shows. And tonight we're just catching up.
We're just hanging out. We're tired, if you couldn't tell.
We're tired. We've been so busy, and we watched a lot of movies over the very end of October. Before we get into what movies we watched, though, we should probably talk about what's in theaters right now.
We absolutely should.
I have not pulled up the theater yet, so you go first.
Please allow me to take it away. I'm going to start in an unconventional order. I'm going to start with TSL, otherwise known as Time and Space Limited, in Hudson, New York. This weekend and the rest of this month, we have Eric Nelson's Daytime Revolution, Shiori Ito's Black Box Diaries, Mark Cousins' My Name is Alfred Hitchcock, probably just Mark Cousins, they put S apostrophe S, so I'm following their convention.
No, I mean, his last name is Cousins, so
Cousins is,
it's gotta be Cousins's.
It's gotta be Cousins's. What else would it be? Also at TSL, don't you forget, it's Rick Burns' Oliver Sacks, His Own Life. It's this naming convention is difficult. I'm just going to say it. And then last but not least is David Bickerstaff's Van Gogh, Poets and Lovers. And if you're interested in any of these movies, all of which sound interesting to me and also are brand new to my eyeballs, you can find out more about when they're playing and more information about what they're trying to tell you at timeandspace.org.
Incredible. I'm going to tell you guys about what's playing at the Wyndham Theater in Wyndham, New York. We have Red One just in time for the holiday season. It looks
just
like a Christmas action movie. That's Red One. Then we have The Wild Robot, as well as the new Venom movie, Venom The Last Dance. You can find out more about showtimes and such at WyndhamTheater.com. That's spelled WyndhamTheater.com.
I haven't looked into it, but just now hearing you say that, I'm like, isn't that the same name as the last Magic Mike movie?
The Last Dance? Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Which I'm wondering if they're doing like a cheeky kind of pop culture reference there.
Oh, maybe. Maybe that's on purpose. I was just like, oh, they're just both movies about big beefy boys.
Because I feel
which
like
is also true.
Right? Like, I feel like ever since Deadpool came out, now all superhero movies are like, let's have someone who's like handsome and cheeky.
Oh,
it's so, oh God, it's going to be over for good soon.
It's so close to being over. Not yet, but so close. All right. Well, now I'm going to tell you about what's playing at the Crandall Theater, but actually it's an announcement. I have an announcement for you. The Crandall Theater is actually temporarily closed.
Oh no.
Because sad for those of us who like to attend movies at the Crandall Theater. However, great news because they're closing for much needed renovations and restoration.
Great.
So sadly, they will be closed. It looks like for almost a full year. They're slated to open next summer. So sadly, no Crandall for you right now. However, they have on their homepage what looks to be, I have not watched it yet, but it looks to be a very cute video with Brian Cox telling you how to support the Crandall Theater. So I would recommend going and watching him tell you how to support the Crandall Theater.
I would love to know. And I would love
to know.
To tell
please,
me.
Please tell me, Brian Cox.
Yeah.
But so if you're interested in finding out more about their renovations and what's going on over with them, you can find out more information at crandalltheater.org.
Amazing. I'm going to tell you about what's playing at the Story Screen Cinema in Hudson, New York. That's the new old 3-screen theater on Fairview Avenue. We have A Real Pain, Anora, Gladiator 2, Heretic, Meanwhile on Earth, Moana 2, and Venom, The Last Dance. Go ahead and check out their website, though, to find out more about showtimes, because I don't think Gladiator 2 is until next week. And I know
like,
because, because I've been watching. Did I turn it up too loud? I'm doing my best.
You're doing so good. Right. Oh, is it me being loud?
No,
or is
I don't
it?
Think so.
No.
I don't know. But anyways, you can head to StoryScreenPresents.com to find out more about showtimes and tickets and all of the very fun events that StoryScreen puts on. Because they have a lot
Incredible.
Of really cool movie series and they have a pinball area. They're great. We love them.
They're so sweet.
They're so sweet.
All right. Now I'm going to tell you about what's playing at Upstate Films, starting with the Star Cinema, which is the location in Rhinebeck. We have Anora, Food and Country, A Real Pain, and Conclave, which I really would like to see.
After we talk about the rest of the movies, I want to talk about what that is, because I don't know.
Okay, word. Okay, word. I only barely know what it is, but it sounds fun to me. All right. And then at the other upstate location, the Orpheum Theater, which is the location in Saugerties, we have Miss Juneteenth, Within You, Without You, listening to George Harrison, Conclave, Blitz, Heretic, Amelia Perez, and also Van Gogh, Poets and Lovers. And if you're interested in any of those movies or anything else that they have coming up over at Upstate, you can head on over to upstatefilms.org for more information.
Amazing. Am I still coming through loud and clear? I hope so. I'm messing with
you. You sound good to me, but I hope somebody would let us know if not.
I know. All right. So last but not least, last for me, is the Spotlight Theater, also on Fairview Avenue in Hudson, New York, because I have no other theaters because our drive-ins are closed for the season, of course. It's very cold out there tonight. So playing at Spotlight, otherwise known as the 8-screen cinema on Fairview, we have Heretic, The Best Christmas Pageant Ever, Here, The Carpenter, wonder who that's about, Conclave, Venom, The Last Dance, Smile 2, We Live in Time. And you can find out more about showtimes at thespotlighttheaters.com and then select the Hudson location from the drop-down menu.
Well. Very exciting.
Yep. So I'm looking, I don't know if you always see this when you're sitting in the captain's chair here, Jenny, but there is a little window on the big computer here that says we have one listener.
Oh my God, I've never noticed before. Oh my God, who's listening?
I know. I'll take a picture of it so I can show you later. Because that's.
I have to imagine that's just people online, because obviously you can't tell when somebody's listening on a radio.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wow. Who's out there listening? Show yourself.
I know. One of our moms,
maybe. My mom never listens live.
So. I know. My mom doesn't either. So it's probably not our mom. Wow. I wonder. I'm very curious.
Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a secret admirer.
All right. So Jenny and I were going to pick a theme for tonight, but then we realized we had to skip our last episode on air. And so it's actually been a while because we've also been busy. It's been a while since we've just simply caught up as friends and co-hosts. So we decided we wanted to just talk about what we've been watching lately, especially because last month was a very fun month for movies.
And so true.
Jenny, I just want to hear what are some of the highlights that you watched?
I'm so excited to tell you about some of the highlights that I watched. Also, our listener has revealed herself, and it's Anne.
Yes.
Friend of the show, occasional guest, Anne Boylan. Thank you for listening.
Wow,
appreciate
you. So cool to know who that little one is on the screen.
That little one listening in. All right, I'm going to tell you about a movie that actually Anne watched the other day because I recommended it to her. So I'm going to tell you about it too. I watched a movie from 2023, which I heard was relentlessly marketed to you, but I had never heard of it, called The Vordalok.
Oh, yeah. Tell me more.
I hadn't seen anything about it, except I saw some random review like a month or two ago, and I was like, oh, that looks interesting. But it is a movie from 2023 that's shot on 16mm, so it looks much older in the way that, God, I wish all movies looked. The craft involved in this movie really is it's transportative. I kept forgetting that it was a modern movie because it's just so well done. But let me give you a little, as close to a summary as I can give you, because I also watched it a month ago. So
this is going to be a bit of a tough episode. It's going to be a bit of a tough one.
Just hang with us.
Yeah.
So this is a movie directed by somebody named Adrien Beau. It's French. It takes place in, I think, what's roughly meant to be the 1700s in France. Who knows what part, outside of the confines of quote-unquote, proper French society. It's about this foppish French noble who is wearing the white face paint and little beauty mark and a little powdered wig. And he is traveling in the middle of the night, and his horse and his things are stolen, I believe, if I recall correctly. And so he tries to get in, like, he just, like, bangs on somebody's door in the middle of the night, and the guy's like, you cannot come in here at night. It's too dangerous to let anybody in.
Oh, no.
But if you keep going down the road, there's a family there that will take care of you. And he's like, okay. So he goes down to the road, and he finds this little, like, peasant family. So peasant is kind of, like, a strong word. They live in, like, a very modest, like, stone building that's actually quite large, but yeah. It is, like, empty.
For the time, comparison
for the time, precisely. And, however, the man of the house is not present. It's a married couple, and... my God, how does this family structure even work? He comes across this, like, little family that's, like, clearly something is going on. They're all really stressed out about where their father is. Oh. They don't know. It's, like, a married couple who are, it's the son of the father who's missing, and his other sister and brother. And they're all looking for him, or, like, they're all waiting for him to come home, and he's been gone for days. And so, like, this foppish guy is just like, what's going on, you guys? I thought you guys were going to, like, I just need some place to stay. But there's clearly something else going on here. It's great. It's, like, it's this incredible movie where we find out where the father is, but it takes a little while. I'm trying to, like, decide how much to tell, because I really loved this movie, so I want other people to watch it. And yeah. Some of what's fun about it is the surprise of what is in store. I will just say it is essentially like a vampire movie. It is an adaptation of a written work that's pre-Dracula that has like a vampire-ish entity. Ooh. Called a Vortilock. Like, that's where the name comes from. I have not actually looked into it at all. So, you know, take a grain of salt. as always with me. But it's just, it has like, it's got a very fun kind of like gothic haunted energy to it. But it also looks incredible. All of the acting's really great. It has this kind of like subversive energy about like these different family members are all kind of acting outside of the norms of their time. And then this figure of the Vortilock is going to come in and kind of like reset things. Ooh. And it's very fun. It's like got a little bit of yucky stuff for those of us that like that.
Love it. Love it.
Yeah, it's just like a weird, gothic, freaky movie. And I really loved it. I had such a good time watching The Vortilock.
Yeah, I mean, the ads that, like you said, I was getting a lot of looked very, very fun.
Yeah.
It knew it was a fun movie.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah, because I think also sometimes it has, like, it actually has a pretty, like, literary air to it in this way that I think can sometimes be a little tedious. But in this movie, it does not feel that way at all. It just feels very, like, enriching. Like, as Anne and I were texting about this yesterday, it works on, like, a very surface, like, ambient, like, scary movie level, but then it also has, like, this really, like, interesting thematic depth to it.
Love it.
That makes it, like, really satisfying. It makes me want to rewatch it also, because I'm like, oh, yeah, like, I'm sure that there's some stuff there that I wasn't really paying attention to. Mm. But yeah, it's very fun. I would strongly recommend it. It's one of those ones where I'm like, I really liked this. Is it good or am I just like, is it pandering to me? But I think maybe it's both.
Listen, what is good?
Who can say?
Who could
Not
say.
Me.
It's good to you. And that's what matters.
It was so good to me. But yeah, so that's The Vortilock. I don't know what the status of its streaming is. Let me do a little search real quick.
I have not watched a lot of movies. I still haven't seen The Substance.
Oh, me neither.
my partner and I had a really incredible spooky screeners list to get through. We got through very little of it. And probably what I'm going to talk about today are all the things that we watched right on Halloween or right after.
Perfect.
Which, are not really scary. We actually veered more fantasy toward the end of the month. But sorry, that's did you great. Find anything out about streaming Wordalot?
Yes. So you do have to rent it, but it's only $1.99. Just do it. Just rent it. Just do it. It's great.
It's cheaper, way cheaper than video stores used to be.
Way cheaper. And it's also an hour and 31 minutes. So good. Tight. In and out. Great. Does not linger too long.
I know. last night, actually, this is not the movie I'm going to talk about, but last night, while we were eating dinner, we're like threw on something casual for the dinner hour, you know,
as you do.
Which I'm, yeah. By that, I mean like the dinner 20 minutes.
Yeah, so of course.
I threw on some Tremors and then we're like, let's just watch Tremors. Let's just finish Tremors. And then right after that, we're like, maybe a little bit of something else before bedtime. And that little bit of something else was Lake Placid. It's been a long time.
Oh, so
that
fun.
That movie, listen, it's no Tremors. It's not nearly as good. But also, it knows that, so it's also a tight hour and 20 minutes. And it
incredible.
Feels, yeah, it feels as short as it is. We didn't finish.
Amazing.
There's still like 20 more minutes of gold to finish.
Oh, I don't think I have seen Lake Placid since I saw it at a sleepover in fifth grade.
Yeah, I have also not seen it maybe also since childhood. And it is a really awkward script.
I bet.
Yeah, it's like everybody is terrible. But I mean, you know, it's near and dear. It stays there.
Yeah,
it hits.
It hits anyway. A perfect, honestly, like just a little taste before bed.
Yeah.
Just a little treat.
Like it's from that funny era too, again, with like the quippy script. I forget who the writer is. He wrote, is he the Ally McBeal guy? It's like there's something that explains that's like, oh, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, totally.
But yeah, like every character is really cartoonish and over the top and like scenes go on too long with people like having a little silly argument. But great movie.
Incredible. Great movie. Time for a rewatch.
all right. So let's see. Maybe... These are all movies that I've talked about on the show before, but listen.
That's okay. Who cares?
It's what I've got to give.
It's our show, dude.
Exactly. So on Halloween, really what I wanted was I wanted like, you know, okay, you could watch any scary movie during the month of October, but closer it gets to Halloween, the more I want something that's kind of has like a childlike thrill to it. Like I want something that's either almost folk horror leaning and very like old, ancient, the land has power kind of vibe.
Oh, yes.
Or I want to watch something like what I watched, which is Nicholas Roeg's The Witches.
Oh, so good. Oh my God. Yes.
Because it's so good. It's perfect. It's exactly what the doctor ordered.
Oh. Amazing.
Yeah. I mean, how am I trying? Yeah. I guess I love watching something that's from the perspective of a kid on Halloween because of the thrill of Halloween for children. And I was once a child and also got a thrill out of it.
I was once a child. I was once thrilled once... by Halloween. You're still thrilled by Halloween.
Oh my God. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows that. But as a kid, I also was.
Of course.
It's like the Mitch Hedberg joke where he's like, I used to do drugs. I still do, but I used to too. Yeah,
exactly.
I still love Halloween so much. So I watched The Witches. For those of you who don't know, it is from a really perfect year. I thought it was 1990. It's just 1993. There's nothing special.
Perfectly reasonable year.
Perfectly reasonable, but it's not like 1990 or 1999. But
right.
I got mixed up.
Famously, everyone knows the best years for cinema.
Yeah, exactly. But no, this is a movie from 1993 based on the 1983 novel of the same name by Roald Dahl, who is a real freak and made such scary stories. And it stars a couple of British folks who I don't know, but it's about a young boy who's taken care of by his Norwegian granny who the movie opens with her telling this young boy stories about witches when she was a kid. And she's a full believer. She's not just saying any scary little story to this kid. She's talking about her childhood when a little girl in her neighborhood, her little village, was captured by a witch and was trapped inside of a painting for the rest of her life. True nightmare material when you see this as a kid. And it's like the sad parents realizing that their kid is trapped inside of a painting forever. It's so scary.
It's so scary.
And she's telling Luke, the little boy, how to avoid witches and what to look out for. They will always turn up their nose at children because to them, children smell like dog's droppings. And they they have no toes and they're always itching their heads because they have to wear wigs because they're bald and they get rashes from their wig. It's like, ugh, there's something about the grossness of it too that's really speaks to children.
Yeah, where totally.
It's like, no toes, wigs because they're bald.
Yeah, and like the specificity of it too is so like that, like kooky Roald Dahl energy. So it's so fun.
Exactly. So, Granny is she has a fall. She's diagnosed with some diabetes, and they take a vacation so she can kind of rest and recover and figure out how to live with this new illness. So they go to a very classic British seaside hotel, which still exists today, and I'm dying to go. The hotel manager is none other than Mr. Bean. Rowan Atkinson.
Please, I was like, call him Rowan.
I know. I think this movie came out the same year that Mr. Bean started. So I'm very curious about what he was filming first.
That's incredible, yeah.
But there is an incredible story from the production where he had a very Mr. Bean-like mishap where he accidentally left his sink on in his hotel room while he was taking a nap. And someone, like, tried to knock on his door and be like, like, there's water dripping downstairs. And he was like, I'm napping, go away. But he, like, ruined a bunch of equipment. Very funny.
Incredible. You can't say, you know, once you're Mr. Bean, you're always Mr. Bean.
Exactly. So while at this seaside resort, Luke and his grandma, there is a huge convention for a group of international women, or no, maybe they're all just British women. And they're the guise of them being there is that they are a philanthropic society for benefiting poor children or something like that. But really, Classic. They're just, it's a big witches meeting. And the head witch is Angelica Houston, who is so incredible in this movie. Anyways, the witches have a plot to poison chocolate bars to turn all of the children in the UK into mice. Perfect. Get rid of all of them at once. That's the witch's goal.
Perfect.
And of course, Luke overhears this meeting and they catch him and they turn him into a little mouse. And it's him figuring out how to stop these witches. Anybody who sees this movie knows how fantastic it is. It delights me every single time I see it. It truly never loses its magic touch for me. I mean, Nicholas Roeg is perfect. The maker of Don't Look Now, another perfect, iconic movie.
Yeah.
Jim Henson, this is the last movie that Jim Henson was alive for working on. The prosthetics look amazing. It took 6 hours to apply Angelica Houston's head witch prosthetics and 6 hours to take it off.
Oh my, 6 hours to take it off. Oh my God. That's crazy. I mean, she looks incredible. Like, that's one of those, I mean, that's so true of all Jim Henson productions anyway, but like everything in The Witches looks so good. Like, I remember watching it with you years ago and we were both so taken by how cute Luke is as the mouse. It's like, it's unbelievable.
The child mice are so cute. It feels very, very English, which I also love.
Absolutely.
It's very seaside England. Mm-hmm. Feels kind of very European to be like, oh, I'm like not feeling well. I need to go to like the seaside for some air to feel
take in
better.
The waters.
It's just, they just don't make them like this anymore.
They really don't.
There's a little detail in the hotel. There's a painting that has a little child in it. It's another kid like, stuck in a painting.
Yes, because the witches are just doing that. They just do that.
It is a very classically, a very traumatizing movie for kids when they saw it as kids. Jenny and I have talked about doing a theme episode of this show that's just unsettling kids movies.
Yeah,
and this
perfect.
Is absolutely one of them. Like, if you saw it as a kid, it probably scared you out of your socks. Apparently, Nicholas Roeg cut a lot of scenes that he thought would be too scary for kids after he showed the original cut to his son, who was like, nope.
No, no, I do not like it.
No, it's so scary. And it's still so scary. But yeah, it was just a real, it was a real treat.
That's so nice. I also honestly like it. Works as it's such a perfect Halloween movie anyway, because it is like spooky, it's like witches, creepy children, like, but it does also have like, I think you're right, like thinking about the other kinds of movies that you're interested in watching at this time, which is like folk horror and like things about like really ancient things, like there's something there, it has that kind of same sublime, like uncanny energy where everything, all of the creepy stuff is like a little, it's just like a little bit weirder than what you would get from a normal story. And so it has, it does, it like creeps into that kind of more like existential dread also.
And like
has that same vibe.
Kids being witness to something that adults don't know about or understand.
Absolutely.
Like that feels
like
this, like this secret world of being a kid and like the things you're witnessing and the things you're imagining and being afraid of and, things that are real that you're turning into fantasy. It's wonderful,
delightful.
Tell me
I'm due for a rewatch of The Witches, frankly. It's been a second.
It's like it's so special.
Oh, perfect choice. Let me tell you about another movie that I watched. It's time for me to choose because you know what? I didn't do for this show any preparation whatsoever.
Oh, also, by the way, The Witches is, sorry, really quick. It's not streaming anywhere right now. I own it on tape, so.
You snooze, you lose, suckers.
Let me just interrupt Jenny to say that you can't watch this
you
movie.
You actually cannot watch this, sorry.
I just told you it was really good and that you should rewatch or watch it.
You might want to. But you can't. Maybe you can get it from Redbox. That might be one. Maybe.
Oh my God.
Does Redbox have that kind of movie in it?
You know what?
Feels like it should.
I have not been paying attention to if there are still Redboxes out there.
There's one at the Red Hook Hannaford. I can tell you that much.
Thank Lord.
Do not know. I walk past it every so often, but I have not. My secret is I've simply never used a Redbox, so I actually don't know how they work.
You should do it before they're gone.
Just as a treat. I don't have a DVD player, so.
Oh.
But I guess I could borrow it and then put it back in just for the experience.
I have a DVD player. Why don't I tell you to rent something? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you can press the buttons.
Okay, perfect. Okay, cool. Oh, I see. You weren't like inviting me to come over and watch a movie.
No, and then you can watch it. Oh. But I want you to have the experience of taking it out of the machine.
I thought for a second you were like, oh, come with me to Redbox. You can press the buttons and then I'll take the movie.
Okay, see you later.
And I was like, I'll just trust you to bring it back, I guess.
Oh, man. Oh, I've told you before how when Redboxes came out, my mom was like, damn it, why didn't I think of that? Yeah. She was so pissed.
Sheila, she's like, oh, what a perfect idea. How much do you think that they're that lucrative? I mean, definitely not now.
No.
If only your mom had gotten there first. Dang.
I know.
Well, I wasn't going to talk about this because I've also talked about it on the show, but it was years ago. I'm now thinking I talked about it. So I'm going to talk about it anyway.
Yes,
Let me couch my descriptions. As I do literally every year, and it has genuinely become a tradition, and every year I think, maybe I'm not going to watch it this year. And then I do. I watch Over the Garden Wall.
Oh, yes.
Every October, I simply have no choice. Something compels me, and it happens to me.
So good.
This is actually timely. It's the 10th anniversary of it premiering. So this is actually a perfect time to tell you, if you're not familiar already, with the lovely series. It's technically a, like, limited series, which feels insane because it's a cartoon. So, like, we don't really do that for cartoons.
Yeah.
But it's, like, ultimately the same idea as a limited series of a television show where I believe it's 10 episodes and each, maybe 9 or 10 episodes, and each episode's, like, 11 minutes long. So you can watch it like a movie. It's about, I think it's, like, an hour and 20 minutes or something like that, 110 minutes, something like that. So it is very accessible as a movie if you're interested in that. But it is a lovely cartoon from 2014 about two boys who are lost in the woods in what seems to be some kind of, like, fairy tale adjacent world where they're having little interactions with lots of weird characters who are all kind of having their own little dramas in this world. But the overarching theme is that it's fall. So
yeah.
It's like unbelievably, like, ambient viewing for,
yeah,
like between September 1st and November 30th.
It's perfect.
Like, it's so good for that. It's so sweet. It's really funny. It has, like, I don't know. It's hard to describe if you haven't seen it, because I don't know. I'm not a person who, like, gravitates towards kids' movies anyway so much. Like, I like some the same that we all do, or the same way that we all do. But it just has this, like, really wonderful, like, thoughtfulness. Like, it is really funny and slapsticky for kids, but it also just has this, like, really unbelievably sweet tone to it.
Yeah.
And, like, it does also, like, genuinely make me laugh. It has, it feels like it's kind of geared towards literally all ages. I actually watched it with my family this year, which was really nice. And I was like, I think you guys are going to like this. And it started and everyone was like, I don't know. And then halfway in, it was like, no, this is great.
Yeah. Everyone gets sucked in.
I told you.
I mean, oh God, it's so sweet.
It's so sweet. It's got, there's like a bunch of famous voices in it, which is fun. You got Elijah Wood, you got Melanie Lynskey. It's got, it's just like, oh, what's his name? Christopher Plummer.
Yeah.
It's got, it's like, it's just,
you know who else it's has, like, is, Chris Isaac.
Chris, oh my God, Chris Isaac. Yes. And, mm-hmm. Tim Curry too.
Yeah.
It's got, like, all, you know, all the Halloween voices you want to hear.
It has almost, oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh no, that's pretty much it.
I was going to say, like, it almost has a kind of Spirited Away.
Yeah,
element to it, and in the level of creative fantasy that it is, and also,
totally.
I mean, maybe this is an oversimplification, but, like, going on a very physical journey and meeting all these people who are going to help or hinder you along the way, and they're, like, very,
yes,
they're creatures and characters that you've never seen and never imagined.
Yes, totally. Like it's very, yeah. It has. It's like, you're right. Like, it is, like, there's, like, frogs and turtles and stuff, but, like, they're just, everything's, like, a little bit uncanny, and, like, it's just, yeah, it's unbelievably sweet, and I love, like, an episodic story like that, too, where it is just, you know, the journey.
Yeah.
It's so,
it's
nice.
It's funny thinking about it, like, why it's a show over a movie, and I feel like it, from my memory of it, I've only seen it the once, but I feel like it really benefits from, like, the chapters.
Yeah, definitely.
Because I feel like I recall some episodes, like, kind of having a cliffhanger. Like, I think it really, mm-hmm. that kind of, like, oh, we're done with this chapter for the night. It's bedtime now. I think it,
exactly.
That's part of its vibe.
Yeah, 100%. I think I also found out recently, because I didn't watch it, like, when it premiered, because it was on Cartoon Network and I was an adult. But I found out recently that it, like, aired. It was, like, a multi-night event where I think they did, like, 2 or 3 episodes at a time over mm-hmm. a couple of nights. So that, like, that I can see, and it was like our fall programming that we're doing this funny show, and it's special. And I think there's something really nice, and, like, I don't know, it reminds me of, like, almost like Peanuts holiday specials too,
yeah.
where it's not in the normal, like, series. It's like, it's Halloween, we're gonna do a Halloween episode, and we're just gonna drop that, and that's what you get.
Yep.
It's like, wow, TV. I love you, TV.
I mean, it's true. It does kind of overlap with what we're talking about, where, like, the almost, like accessing the coziness of the Halloween season, and the way that, like, people search for the coziness of Christmas, you know? Like,
yeah, exactly.
That, like, the seasonal, I don't know, like the heartwarmingness of these yes. stories, as well as they are spooky, but yeah.
Oh. Yeah, you want to like immerse yourself in the like fall foliage.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't know if the microphone is picking up me like rubbing together my little hands because I'm thinking about being just cozy. Like,
soon you get to be home and be so cozy.
I know. It's windy out right now and I'm alone in the studio. Jenny is here over Zoom. But not in person. And so every time a person has been walking by the window, I like jump a little bit.
You can pull the blinds. You'd be like, don't look at me.
There's no blinds.
Oh, shoot. Never mind. Oh, I guess I was thinking of the thing behind you that won't protect you.
No, it's okay. It's part of the thrill.
Yeah.
Over the Garden Wall, I am due for a rewatch because it is so lovely. I do love a, like you're talking about with the peanuts too, like a seasonal holiday one-off special event.
Yeah, I'm a real sucker for tradition also. I don't think of myself that way, but then like every year something comes around and I'm like, I do this every year at this time, so I must do it this year.
You love and tradition. It does.
I do love tradition. Oh no.
I know this about you.
Yeah.
You love like eating the husk cherry on your birthday.
I do. God, you're so right. I am absolutely a tradition person.
Yeah. No, I mean, traditions are very human.
That's true. Very human behavior. So right.
So it's a good thing to lean into. And also, again, they feel very cozy to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Capital C cozy.
So capital C cozy.
Speaking of cozy, yeah. I watched, this was so exciting for me, Jenny. So I was, again, feeling in the same mood. I have a VCR TV at the foot of my bed. It's so nice to have. I have a lot of VHS tapes. And in the morning I said, hey, sweetheart, go grab a couple movies to pop on in the VCR for morning TV, watching in bed.
Oh, nice.
Yep, just let that sink in.
Oh, my God.
Just let that sink
You're
in.
You're so wild for that. I know. So nice.
He came back with Willow. And he came back with The Secret of Ronin-ish.
Oh, my God.
We watched them both. I was like, Willow is absolutely the first thing I want to lay eyes on in the morning.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Oh, my God.
It's so good. It's Lord of the Ring for big babies. And I love it.
Yes.
And then we watched Secret of Ronin-ish right after. And that's what I want to talk about. Because that was a favorite movie of mine as a kid. So The Secret of Ronin-ish is a movie from 1994. It's a John Sayles movie, and it is it takes place in coastal Ireland and near the real community of the Isle of Ronin-ish. And it was a huge favorite of mine as a kid because, I mean, maybe it's the Brit family. It probably was one of the only kids' movies that didn't drive my parents bonkers to like watch over and over again. I think my parents loved it too, and that was part of it. And it's like, it's about Irish folklore, which I'll get into later. But it has a very, it's extremely pastoral. It's extremely peaceful. And again, our main character is a little girl, and it kind of has that like that kind of spaciness of kids being alone, and like there's just a lot of details in it of the world around her that feels very similar to how it is to be a kid,
yeah,
just kind of walking around the world of adults, and like
totally
I think it spoke to me even then as a kid. You know, it's kind of a little slow for kids. It's not a very active movie, but I think I loved it because it had this kind of spacing out on a grassy hillside kind of energy to it.
Yeah, anyways. Absolutely.
This is a story about a little girl named Fiona who her mother dies. She is from, her parents are and herself are originally from in a coastal community, an island in Ireland called Ronin-ish. This is taking place right after World War II. And a lot of people everybody from Ronin-ish had to evacuate the island during the war. And Fiona has been living in one of the city's one of the inland communities with her parents, and her mother has passed away, and her father is working a factory job and is distraught and drinking, and it's decided that she's going to go live with her grandparents, her father's parents, back on the coast, basically right on the coast across from the island of Roninish. And it's just beautiful. Okay. Like we're traveling through lush green rolling hills to the rocky, beautiful Sea of Ireland in this little fishing community where, you know, you have your beautiful stone whitewashed houses with thatched straw roofs. I mean, everything, all the texture is just so rich and wonderful. And everybody's warm, lovely voices. I mean, there's something too about both the witches and Secret of Roninish, like grandparents in movies, like children's relationship with like warm, lovely grandparents.
Oh God, I know.
And so as little Fiona is adjusting to life in this town, she is she's learning a lot about her family through some of the townsfolk. It's a very small community, so everybody talks about everybody, and she's learning a lot about her family history through her grandparents and through the townsfolk. And many, many, many ancestors ago, legend has it that her great-great-great-great-grandfather married a Selkie, which is a creature from Irish folklore that's a seal that can turn into a woman. And so this great-great-grandfather sees a Selkie with his own eyes. And when she changes from her seal form to her human form, he takes her seal skin, and that kind of like binds her to him. And Selkies, I guess, are all famously dark-haired beauties. And so once a generation in Fiona's family, a little dark-haired baby is born. And her younger brother, her baby brother, Jamie, was one of those dark-haired little babes. And while her family was evacuating Roninish, Jamie was lost at sea in his little crib. His crib floated out into sea, and everybody assumed that he died. And so the grandparents don't like talking about it. Of course, most of her family doesn't want to talk about the lost baby. She asks her grandfather and her cousin, who's like a teen, to take her to see Roninish, which means the island of the seals. So seals are big in this community. Mm-hmm. And while she's wandering around Roninish, what might she see but a little butt-naked toddler with curly dark hair running around the green hills of Roninish and being taken care of by the seals. It's her little brother, Jamie. So the story is just about her, like, trying to reconnect her. Because now Roninish they can go back if they want to. And, you know, the grandfather thinks that they haven't had as much luck with fishing, and they're experiencing misfortune because they left Roninish, and the seals and the island is mad at them.
Right.
That's
totally
where they belong. So then it's about Fiona and her cousin, whose name I cannot pronounce because it's an Irish, true Irish name. And it's about them kind of trying to pull their community back to Roninish. And like, there's a montage of them secretly fixing up the cottages.
Oh my God.
could just cry thinking about you know, the pleasure
love that
of
stuff.
Just watching. Yeah, not only watching them like make the paint from flour and stuff, but also the giant like horsehair brush.
Yes, dude.
All the things.
Oh God.
All the things. So it's about her trying to get, you know, again, children witnessing things that adults aren't seeing and aren't believing.
Yeah,
so when
totally.
She finally tells her grandparents that she saw Jamie, everyone's like, you shouldn't have said that. Nobody believes her. They're going to think you're crazy. But so she's trying to convince them to come back to the island, and also because that's how they can get Jamie back.
Yeah. And, oh, my God.
Make him not a feral kid anymore.
Right? Not just a seal kid, but a seal man.
Yeah, exactly. It is so special. It's such a peaceful movie.
It's one of those movies that I've never seen, and it's like it feels like such a big gap in my like childhood film education. Like I know I love Selkies. It sounds like such a lovely, lovely movie.
It's so good. I mean, I realize I haven't seen, I've seen very, very few John Sayles movies.
Yeah, I'm like, I know that name, but I can't think of why.
I've seen Piranha.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I've seen Clan Piranha. Of the Cave Bear.
Oh, but, yeah, that's another classic Amanda.
I know, it really is. But his big ones are Matawan and Lone Star.
I may be finding here on live on air, coming at you live. I may have never seen... Oh, no, I have seen Piranha. So true.
Yeah, we've seen it together.
It's so true. But I'm like, anything else? Maybe haven't seen any other of his movies.
I know. I know he's like a big one, but...
Yeah, me? Big one, absolute... Oh, okay. All right. Malcolm X? Is that him also? Or did he just write it?
I don't think so. If it's on Google, you can't trust
it. I know you can't trust Google anymore. It's so stupid. Oh, right. Duh, it's Spike Lee. Why did it come up under John Sayles? That's so stupid.
You know.
I hate Google so bad now.
It really is. It really is. Everybody, go watch Secret of Ronin-ish, especially on a day where you're craving something that takes its time and that's very gentle and very sweet. It almost has kind of like that made-for-TV gentleness to it.
Yes, absolutely. I imagine that it's in line with Mermaids. That's how I'm imagining this movie. I don't know if that's quite right.
It's even gentler.
Yeah, because Mermaids does have some darkness in it.
Yeah, and because it feels like such a movie about humans getting back to nature, like there's such a natural element to it.
Yeah, totally.
It feels like it's slightly in its own thing. But yes, it does have a very, like...
That might also just be, like, timeline. Those things, you know, fit in around the same, like, era.
Yeah. I mean, it has... This is a crazy comparison because one is just a full-on masterpiece, but it has that kind of, like, First Cow delicateness.
Wow.
Like,
okay,
just
yes.
the, you know, where you can hear... bugs.
Oh yeah, like the sensitivity is like oh.
It's actually watch people make stuff.
Yeah, I love. That's what I was thinking about when you were describing the scene or the montage of them fixing up the cottages. Like that is actually kind of also has a like a Miyazaki vibe to it. Like whenever anybody's cleaning or tidying something, and it's like it's unbelievably comforting to watch for some reason. Like the setting of things right again is like so pleasurable to the human brain.
Exactly.
We love to see it.
Well, this is a movie that like truly has to fill its time with that because it's the story itself is insanely simple. Like
it's totally
extremely simple. So the time is filled up with like the little girl Fiona talking to townsfolk who are telling her stories, and then we see the flashback or the play out of that story, and then watching people do things around, you know, like
God.
Yes, it's really good.
Incredible. I'm really excited for finally me to watch The Secret of Ronin-ish.
I'm so excited too. Jenny, what are you looking forward to watching now that we only have like 8 minutes left of the show? What are you looking forward to watching?
That's such a good question.
At home or in the theater?
The thing that I mean, you know, and I know there's two movies. Well, there's one movie that's out right now that I really want to see. Well, no, there's two movies that are out right now that
what
I really want to see.
They?
It's time for me to tell you what I know about Conclave.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, wait, let's unpin that. I'm trying to see Conclave because I hear it's really fun. It's, if I understand correctly, and let me assure you, I've done 0% research, but I, from just reading people's reactions to it online, I understand it to be a movie about a pope dying and all of the cardinals vying for succession.
Oh, my God.
Which, like, to me is just so delicious.
I love
the papacy.
Yes.
It's fascinating.
Oh, my God. I know. It's also maybe that means it's time for us to try again with the young pope.
Because, the young pope. I know. It's time to actually get into the young pope.
It was like, why couldn't we do it? I don't know. Maybe just because it was like a little too talky.
I think that was it. I think it was also at a time, I can't remember what year the Young Pope was, but I kind of think it was at a time when I was just like, I just am not ready for serious TV right now. I need a little break from serious TV. Josh watched all of it and was like, it's so good. Why aren't you watching the Young Pope?
I know. I need
it's time. All right. It's time. And then the new Pope.
Yeah.
The second season.
My God. Maybe I'm just watching the Young Pope when I get home.
It could be. That could be it. The other thing.
Conclave sounds great. What's the other thing? The other thing
I want to. Well, obviously, at Christmas time, we're all looking for Nosferatu. Everyone's looking for Nosferatu. Right. You don't need me to tell you that.
No.
But Amanda and I have been talking about going to see Heretic in theaters also because it looks really fun.
It looks fun.
It looks just like it's a fun. It looks like a fun, weird little horror movie where Hugh Grant plays a weird little freak like he's been doing lately. And it looks like maybe there's like some puzzle rooms in it, which is all I want, because if only there were 15 escape room movies, I would be gladder than I've ever been.
I wish they would make more of those. I mean, please, God. Why can't we have them like we have Saw?
Movies? For real. Please stop leaving money on the floor. I'm going to give you so much money. What are you doing? I'm going to make you rich.
Literally. Obviously, that's what people want.
Yes.
Time and time again, we're learning that people want to see people get hurt in creative ways.
That's all we want. We don't have Final Destination anymore. Give me Escape Room.
No, like I know we have Terrifier now, but like...
No, it's not the same.
It's really not the same.
He's not using weird traps.
No,
so
he's
I'm
just
not interested.
Being yucky.
He's just being yucky.
I'm going to the gym tomorrow, and then I was thinking about going to the movies right after the gym and having like a hot dog and popcorn for dinner.
Literally the best thing to do.
Gym treat.
It's all you need, the protein and you need the salt, famously.
Yeah.
That's the treat. That's the post gym treat.
It's playing at 7:30.
Okay. Let me clear my schedule real quick. Just saying.
Maybe. I don't know. We'll talk after.
We'll talk after.
Okay. I am looking forward to watching. I never saw all of Decision to Leave. And last night we were like, what are we going to watch? We ended up just watching Tremors.
Right.
But my beautiful sweetheart made an incredible to watch list of a lot of movies we've never seen. Including all of Decision to Leave, because I fell asleep because it was late at night, not because it was boring. It's great.
Totally. It's so... I was literally thinking about rewatching it yesterday. Yeah.
We just watched the trailer to kind of, like, make our decision, and we're like, God, just the trailer is so good.
It's so good. It's such a good... He's so good at making movies. They're so good.
I know.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's...
Decision to Leave... Maybe.
Also, I would really like to watch our dear, dear friend, Danielle, friend of the show, guest of the show, past guest of the show. I'd really like to watch Danielle's favorite movie, The Friends of Eddie Coyle.
Me too. I know. It's time. It's time for us to finally get on her level.
It's time. I know. And it's I've been watching a lot of things I've already seen or things that are just nothing is junk. But it's like, you know, like things that are really for pure thoughtless entertainment.
Yeah,
and
totally.
I'm trying to watch some revered stuff.
That's what winter famously is for. Like summer is for the easy breezy stuff. I don't want to think, show me gross stuff. Show me weird stuff. Yeah. I want action. Nothing complex.
Summer blockbuster, baby.
Exactly. And then wintertime is like, oh, maybe this is the year I'm going to watch all of The Sopranos. Maybe this is the year I'm going to watch The Friends of Eddie Coyle.
Yeah.
Like it just feels like that's when you do your serious intellectual work in the winter.
Exactly. Winter is a time of introspection.
Precisely.
And watching
this year I'm finally going to finish reading Moby Dick. It's going to happen now that it's cold out.
Happen.
I couldn't do it when it was sunny. I couldn't do it.
Maybe I will finally read a book.
It could happen. Anything's possible.
Happen to you. If you try hard enough, it could happen to you.
Yeah.
Should we shove off?
Oh, there was one. Oh, I wanted to shout out ourselves. From the past, I wanted to shout out, for those of you who don't know, on Thursday, on the first Thursday of every month, Amanda has a mysterious alter ego,
yes,
who has another radio show. I'll never tell any secrets except that it's called The Love Motel. And last Thursday's episode, we had a fun triple crossover event.
It was so special.
The Love Motel crossed over with Rock and Roll High School and also a Rock and Roll Radio. I can never remember what the real name of their show is.
Yeah, I think it's Rock and Roll Radio now.
Rock and Roll Radio. I'm so sorry. And Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda. And if you're interested in this really charming episode where we wrote imaginary movies and then soundtracked them,
oh my God, it was so fun.
You can find it in the WGXC archive under The Love Motel. Incredible.
Yes, check it out. I haven't listened to it yet. I hope.
Me neither.
It's fun to listen to.
The